Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Today on the program, we're speaking with Dr. Alan Weiss, a PhD, a consultant speaker, and author. Through his consulting firm, Summit Consulting Group, Inc., he has worked with more than 500 leading organizations, including Merck, Hewlett-Packard, GE, Mercedes-Benz, the Federal Reserve, and the New York Times Corporation. He has published 60 books, many of which have been on the curricula at top business schools. His new book is Cinient Strategy, How to Create Market-Dominating Strategies in Turbulent Economies. And Dr. Weiss, thanks for joining us here today.
Glad to be here, Eric. Nice to be with you.
Well, you're certainly more than welcome. Looking forward to hearing from you today as well. And thanks for your time. So for starters, why have you steered away from the terms return to normal and new normal? I'd love to hear your take on that.
Well, normal means typical. And who wants to return to typical? What we're facing today are new realities, not a new normal, but new realities, which is fine. But these are going to continue. And so the expectation that we will return to some blissful place, or we're setting up some constant that won't have volatility and disruption in it, is just silly.
I like it. And I'm also totally with you on that as well. What is your definition of cinient strategy, and what key factors is it based upon? Get into some of those details.
Well, strategy for me, and I learned this from a guy named Ben Trigo, where I worked in his company for some time in the 70s, but strategy is a framework within which you make decisions that set the nature and direction of a business. And he published that in a book called Top Management Strategy. But sentient strategy, which I created about 3 or 4 years ago, involves two key considerations. One is, how aware are you of the environment in which you operate, and how conscious are you of the impact of your decisions? And I find that today, it's very important that you look at perhaps a year or so and set strategy within a day or so, and not in the old normal, to go back to your first question, which was spending, you know, months trying to look 10 years out, which today is a fairy tale.
Tell me also, Dr. Weiss, what length of time should a business strategy encompass?
Well, I think strategy should be organic. That is, you use it every day to guide your business. And you don't sit down every day and review strategy, but you use its concepts and precepts when you're making decisions daily. And, you know, we don't often enough see an executive talk to his or her top team and say, how are we doing on our strategic goals? So I think the best we can do today is to look 12 to 15 months out. And I think we should expect to set that strategy within a couple of days.
Certainly do appreciate your feedback there. That is most helpful, and for joining us here today. We're speaking with Dr. Alan Weiss. He's a PhD consultant, speaker, and author of Cinient Strategy, How to Create Market-Dominating Strategies in Turbulent Economies, here on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, continuing on, you wrote that strategic planning is an oxymoron. Can you explain what you mean by that?
Strategy is top-down. So you paint a picture of the future amongst the top people who are responsible for this. And then you cascade it down, involving more and more people, so they make decisions every day that are commensurate with and consistent with the strategy. But planning is bottom up. And so you have a situation where, let's just take a sales team. They say, well, what should we do for next year? I want to make a good bonus, exceed my quota. So let's not make the quotas too high. I could probably do 10% more. Let's call it 3% more. Then the sales managers say, well, these people are projecting 3%. I'm going to knock it down to 2%, protect myself. And so it goes. And by the time all these plans come up to senior executives, their hands are tied because you have such a low vision of the future. So strategic planning is an oxymoron because they contradict each other. In fact, I can make a case that planning kills strategy.
Now, also, Dr. Weiss, in this time of volatility and disruption, how can organizations decide how to proceed?
I think that they have to be prepared for continuing disruption, hence no return to normal. And that means they need to be agile. I'm not talking about agile as a philosophy. I'm talking just about agility, being nimble. And that's why you have to review strategy frequently to determine what changes to make. You know, I heard recently of a drug company that was trying to create a 30-year strategy. They might as well use, you know, a horoscope or astrologers. And so you have to look at the events in the environment, things like demographics, things like the economy, things like technology, social mores, and so forth, and say to yourself, in contemporary business society and in the immediate future, how should we be? Who should we become? What's our vision of what we'll look like? You know, a mission is your raison d'etre. It's why the organization exists. A vision is some point in the future that is saying you are achieving your mission. You have fulfilled your mission.
I like that. That's some good stuff right there. Now, also in your book, Sentient Strategy, you describe the many ways that organizations can derail strategy once they move into implementation. Why does this happen, and what are key ways that organizations can bridge strategy formulation and implementation?
Well, that's a great question, and it looks like this. In some cases, you just have poor information, and so you're not operating on a solid base. So you have to make sure that your information is validated, not someone's opinion. You have to make sure you have the intelligence. You know, in the old days, the cavalry went behind enemy lines and said what was back there. Well, you need your own cavalry. What's the intelligence? The second thing is you could have poor commitment, and that is people haven't bought into the strategy at their various levels. I actually was hired by a company once which told me that the people weren't fulfilling the strategic goals of the company. And I said, let me see your strategy. And the strategy was brilliantly written out. It was quite good. And I said, well, what do people say when they see this? And they say, oh, we don't show this to employees. So there's a problem. The third thing is you have poor infrastructure. You don't have the communications internally that you need, and you don't have people willing to share, or they just neglect to share. So you need to plug those holes. And in addition, you need to create accountability, first of the people who are setting strategy, the executives, you know, the 10 or 12 people who might be doing that, or even fewer in smaller organizations. And you need to then cascade that accountability down so that each person is holding someone else accountable. And this is where it's helpful to have an outside resource like a consultant who can say to the senior executives, you are failing in your accountabilities here because you're not meeting your deadlines, you're not involving the right people, you're not behaving in the way you said you would act. So these are the things that are not terribly difficult to do, but require discipline if you're going to make that bridge, because strategy never fails in formulation. It fails in implementation.
Good information, and thanks for that. Now, tell us also what you mean by the success trap, and how do you keep from falling into it?
People get to a level of success where they're meeting or exceeding their expectations, their goals, and so forth, which is fine. But then they start to pat themselves on the back, and they're riding along a plateau. And the problem is all plateaus erode because of the laws of entropy. And the only people I've ever seen able to coast are people who are going downhill. You can't coast uphill. So any product or service or initiative is like a big S curve, and you start at the bottom of the S and you work your way up, and it becomes more and more powerful and successful. But then the S flattens out. That's the plateau. That's the success trap. So the idea is, as you reach the top of the plateau, when you have momentum, just before you flatten out, you jump to the next S curve. And that's what the most successful organizations have done. You know, don't forget, Amazon, which is a stellar example of nonconformist innovation strategically, started out as a book distributor. They're quite something different today.
Dr. Weiss, really has been good to have had you with us. One last final question before we conclude. I understand you have a different take on what many call the Great Resignation. We've heard folks talk about the Great Resignation here on the program in the past, or the recent trend of workers leaving their jobs. If you don't mind, can you describe how you view this?
Yeah, I'll say two things. First is that people don't leave companies, they leave bosses. And in my consulting work, you know, when I'm called in to look at turnover and attrition, inevitably I find that two or three people at most are the sources of work from which people are leaving. And so people don't leave companies, they leave people, and you have to determine who those people are and change them. But the second thing is, I call the Great Resignation an existential jailbreak. People wanted to get out because they don't feel good about their jobs. And here's the lowdown on that in 30 seconds. We're not talking about money. What we're talking about, and the literature supports this for the last 20 years, motivation is intrinsic. I can't motivate you. It comes from within. And people are most motivated when they can use the maximum talent they have on the job and be recognized for it. And what happens is either they're not allowed to use their talents or they're not recognized for it. And hence, they get out because they don't feel any obligation or loyalty to be there. That's an easy dynamic to change if you understand the dynamic.
Well, Dr. Weiss, again, we appreciate your time and joining us here today. And I'm sure listeners would like to know where they can get more information about yourself and also pick up the book Sentient Strategy and also check out the other books that you have available as well.
You can go to Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble, or you can go to my site, alanweiss.com, alanweiss.com, and you'll find my bookstore there. So you'll find a lot of free resources as well, audio and video and text.
And that certainly is easy enough, and we'll include that link within the show notes of this broadcast. Dr. Weiss, all the best, and thanks again for joining us here today on EPN.
Thanks for the opportunity, Eric. I appreciate it.
It certainly was my pleasure anytime. Again, we've been speaking with Dr. Alan Weiss, a PhD, a consultant speaker, and author of Sentient Strategy, How to Create Market-Dominating Strategies in Turbulent Economies. And for further details, visit alanweiss.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the ePodcast Network.